Come with us to the Hyborian Age. Come with us back to the dark centuries which sprawl between the sinking of Atlantis and the dawn of recorded time. To the days when the now forgotten land of Aquilonia was the mightiest of nations, and a man's life was worth no more than the strength of his sword arm. Come with us to the raw, untamed world of Conan the Barbarian.
Ow, I hurt.
I am there with you.
I hurt my own ears with that. I could keep reading, but
that'll work enough. In place of hello and welcome.
Yeah, come with us now.
That's our signal
on GFW Radio
to start talking about the age of Conan.
Yeah, it's the podcast for May 28th, 7th, 8th.
One of those two, 8th.
An Eidos issued press release says that Conan is one of the top selling PC games of all time.
Already really? has over 400,000.
The fastest.
I heard that number users. Too. 400,000. Yeah. Pretty damn good.
Is that worldwide, I assume?
I'd assume so. But, I mean, still, yeah. That's better compared to, like, I don't know, Vanguard or any of those other MMOs that have launched in, like, the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, already, every time I log on, there's, like, a new notice that these new servers have been added. We're continuing to add mm-hmm. servers based on demand. Consider switching to a less populated server as opposed to, you know, Auto Assault, and I'm not sure how right. Tabula Rasa is doing now, but
yeah, I don't think it's doing
too I think good. It's telling right. that, like,
we're proud to announce we've consolidated down to two servers.
Yeah.
That's usually what the spin is like.
I yeah. just
no,
think
it's a good thing.
Telling that, like, every person I know that I used to play WoW with is now all playing Conan. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they all switched. Really? I mean, they're keeping their accounts open on WoW. There's no way they, after, like, reaching level 70 and stuff, they'd close it, but they're definitely, like, trying out WoW. I mean, it's drawn away
Conan
people.
Is the MMO of the moment.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right. Well,
I didn't notice any lesser numbers in our guild. I know a couple people are trying it out, but a couple of people. No one's really migrated yet.
Every time I've tried to log on, the servers have been down.
That's no good.
It does have its
fair share of bugs. I mean, it crashes on me sometimes, but
I'm not making a judgment. I actually was trying to play and I couldn't.
That's a bummer, because we've been playing quite a bit. I have to say that I need to amend my take on the game from last week. Last week, I was like, I wasn't, like, bitching and complaining so much as I just wasn't as impressed with the whole combat and just seeing that the game was that much different than any other MMO I played. And I don't know, I think over the long weekend, I had time to continue to grind away and then certain things, you know, as I ranked up, I got new, more complex combos and could use those in different ways. And I started liking it, and I hit the point where I was like, I'm going to keep playing. And so I think on Friday, I ended up poop-socking until about 2 a.m.
Wow.
And then I took the next day off, but I think the day after that, I played till about 2 a.m. yet again.
Wow.
So we got out of the beginner's area. We're now in the open, you know, we're my usual gang of idiots and myself included, and we're in the Tyranny free-for-all PvP server. And so what happens is after you get out of the beginning area, I don't know the names of the cities or anything. I don't know what any character is.
The first city is called Tortage.
Yeah, out of Tortage. Because, I mean, anytime someone gives me a quest, I just mash one.
Yeah, to get there real quick.
I don't want to read what they have to say. I don't want to listen.
Someone spent a lot of time on that lore.
They
or
did.
Did they?
Or did they?
Yeah. It's a good point.
Someone typed in all that lore.
I mean, yeah, there's only voices for the first city, and then after that, there's no voices for the characters.
Is that right?
Anymore. Yeah.
Ever?
Oh,
ever.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's just like grunting and stuff. So someone will be talking. You see all this text on the screen. It's like,
It's barbarian language. So.
Before we go on, we never introduce ourselves. Just, we got to do that out of, you know,
oh, yeah, that's,
professionals'
that's very,
sake.
Very true.
We're missing Ryan Scott today. He's on vacation in Vegas, of all things, which you wouldn't think Ryan would be into.
Which is too bad.
Unless he's a surfer.
Unless you know Ryan.
Ryan
he's
is
a gambler.
He's a gambler?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And he's got that, he's compulsive about things.
Oh, he would be sort of the Rain Man sort of guy, don't you think?
Right.
He's sitting there at the table. Double down.
I believe his game is blackjack, so that should
split your eights. Always
really?
Split eights.
Mm-hmm. He's actually gambling there? I figured he'd be like, I'm going to the Star Trek experience or whatever.
Hey, don't knock that.
I'm not. I'm just saying I think he would go there. He probably is.
I'm sure. Yeah. I know he's also playing blackjack.
Okay. Do they let you play blackjack in Star Trek uniforms?
Oh, wow.
They call it
that
something
would be
else.
The ultimate fantasy.
I remember. What's that Star Trek game? Jom Dot or something? Dot Jom?
What?
I remember I saw it on TV one time. Yeah. It was like pool. It was ghetto pool. Space pool.
I want to play the two-tiered chess you'd always see in Star Trek.
That looked like a fun game.
Yeah.
I think someone actually extrapolated the rules.
Yeah.
Based on like watching
episodes.
Of course
somebody did. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me either.
Okay, so no Ryan, but to my left is...
Anthony Gagos.
Sean. Elliot.
Sean Malloy.
And Jeff.
I was just gonna mention that now I'm no longer my cheats. I'm actually now Ryan's minion.
Oh, yeah?
It's official.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
You're officially Ryan's minion?
Yeah.
Bravo.
Okay.
So,
it doesn't say that on your card.
Ryan is my
minion.
Yeah.
Minion.
That's Ryan. A good... I mean, that's not my cheats. It's got to be done.
No.
And it's super popular, but I imagine it's hard work to do those super guides.
I still have to do one more before I'm officially off the hook.
Which one?
Though I'm technically Ryan's minion now. Battlefield Bad Company.
Wow.
Yeah.
The good news is the multiplayer is a whole lot of fun on that.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I have to do the single player too.
It's not much fun.
So.
Well, congrats.
Yeah.
Hooray.
What were we talking about before?
We were talking about Age of Conan.
Right. Let's go back to that.
It beats having to write a strategy guide for Age of Conan.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I can't just say it's just, you know, all of a sudden I understood the nuance of dodging and evasion and, you know, better combos and stuff. I mean, because I was doing some of that before, but.
I don't know. I think what sold you was when we first went to that White Sands and it was me, you, Rory, and Duncan. And the four of us just started killing any person we saw. And the fact of the matter was that we found a group of people, all three of them were like five levels higher than us, and we all killed them, no problem.
Yeah.
And it was like right then, all of a sudden, I could hear you being like, did you see how much damage I did to that guy? I was like, oh, yeah.
We got him now.
That's the first sign.
And then, I mean, it is cool, too, yeah, because there's like, you'll do these fatality maneuvers every now and then, and I think what determines is if your combo is naturally going to do enough to kill them, it'll just finish it off with that. But It's kind of like, you know, back the old, you know, Mortal Kombat 2 in the arcade when, you know, it's your human opponent, it adds a little extra fun to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was beyond that when we started doing the quests. Like there was that one nice quest where you're going into that temple and there's those giant bald headed dudes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Duncan was tracking. We're basically in this quest and we're in this party. So anyone that was lone wolfing it would see us and immediately stealth because they would be like, I don't want to risk dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have this ranger in our group who can track, and so we hunt this person throughout this dungeon as they're trying to, you know, do their quest and get the XP and get out of there. And then that would be awesome. And then it just makes it better when, like, you know, then they start complaining in like the chat, in the world chat, talking about watch out for this group of gankers. The group is called Peen Orange, and that comes from so anyone's welcome to join. We need a posse because we're basically just going to be like a mercenary guild. Or, I mean,
what server are you on again?
Run Tyranny. Right.
Yeah, free for all PvP. And Peen Orange comes from, there's this picture on my 1UP blog of, I don't know, pretty creepy looking dude with a real doll on like a couch, but he's wearing like all orange. And so the color, at some point we just said, well, that's Peen Orange. Like a combination of peener and orange. So,
oh, okay. That's, I didn't know that.
That's who we are now. But
now it makes sense.
So I don't know. The quests are getting better. It's pretty fun to do. It's
so
cool,
you're doing quests as well as ganking.
Yeah, because you have to level up to be able to efficiently gank someone.
Sure, you can't level up from.
And it's just like as you're doing the quests, we end up going in dungeons where it is free for all areas. So then, like after the prerequisite, Sean ordering us to stand by like the entrance for like 5 minutes, killing anyone who enters or tries to leave. Then we move on and start doing our quests.
But you can't blame it on me. We were playing, and I saw a lone guy with this enormous mob of like, you know, demon bats and stuff wailing on him. So I ran up. I'm like, let's help this guy. And Rory was like,
that was nice.
That is not Peen Orange.
Yeah, that's what Rory said.
He was like scolding me. He was like, you do not help anyone.
He set you straight with the guild rules. Huh?
Yeah.
We help no one.
Basically, all our guild exists for is to add to the kill on site list. That's like all anyone does. Like, oh, this guild's now kill on site.
Right. Like, oh, I think we have gotten that.
Do they have official like kill on site stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
We'll get there soon. Like we we'll do some other stuff. Well, it gets interesting after you get out of Tortage and you get to the wider world. Then you can actually PvP outside, except for three cities.
Yeah.
But other sub-cities, you're totally free to kill. So you'll just go and wait for someone to go to turn in a quest, and they're standing there talking to a quest giver, and I'll come behind them stealth because I'm an assassin. I'll just slit their throat, do a fatality, and then you wait, you cloak again, and they just keep trying to turn the quest in to get the XP.
Yeah.
You cut their throat every time they do it. But
that's called corpse camping.
Yeah.
Corpse
well,
camping. Yeah. That's a wild technique,
too. It gets pretty bad in this. But one thing that is kind of cool that they do that is that Rory, because Rory already has like a level 50 character, he can apprentice us. And so when he apprentices us, we become like one level less than him, even though like I'm 21.
Oh, wow.
He apprentices me up. Yeah, he apprentices me up to 49.
Oh, that's neat.
And so my health doesn't go up, but I get like, I can attack 40, like a guy's at 49, and it's not hard for me to hit him and stuff like that.
Mm. This is the other thing I think what I liked about it is that every class in this game feels overpowered. In the best ways is that when you're playing, you're always like, I mean, like I was saying, I was like, dude, you see how much damage I did? Everyone's always like, whoa, did you see what I just did? Did you see what I did? And no one, it seems like every one of us picked a different type of class. And at the same time, we're all like happy and excited with what we have.
Mm-hmm. Until they nerf you.
And yeah, one there is one class. What is it?
The Tempest of Set.
The Priest of Mitra.
I thought it was the Tempest of Set.
No, it's the Priest is like got some real buggy shit that I've seen videos of. But,
no, so are you getting? If you're no, getting.
There's an important point behind this.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's just all be quiet until I remember it. Go on.
Well, I was just going to ask about the ganking. I mean, to me, that was always in WoW and in other MMOs. When you're rolling on a PvP server, you have foregoed the right to complain about being ganked.
Right. Right. Exactly. Opted into this part of the game as something.
Yeah, and it used to always. I mean, the thing is, I have to admit, I would be guilty of it too. Every once in a while, in WoW, I would get ganked so much in like Stranglethorn Vale that I would finally do some kind of chat in the zone. It's just like, fuck these goddamn gankers. Like, I just lose my temper and do that. And then it would be like, you can roll on a different server, dude. Mm-hmm. Which is what I would always say to people who complained when I heard them do it.
This is the point. It ties back into that, is that unlike World of Warcraft, you can kill, like, you could be a level 12 and kill a level 20. You could be in PvP. You could be like, we're 21 now and we could take on like 30 pluses and still win. It's not like this. I don't play WoW, but I'm going from all the people in this server we play with have played WoW, and they're like, if someone is like five classes above you, you won't even be able to kill them.
The level disparity is pretty high, I guess.
Yeah.
So this is a good thing.
So why is that? I mean, is it just...
Does it just mean like...
It's just because like getting off those combos and stuff is like so much more of it. Like if the person's just mashing their attack buttons but never doing any combos because like, I'm 40.
Well, what if you later in the game, the people learn how to do the combos? Like what if two people of equal skill are going into it?
The higher level will always have the advantage.
So, yeah, just because he will have more hit points. And so.
Okay. And then, but if say there's two people, say you have two level 20s against like a level 31 or whatever, and the level 31's like really competent this character and it's going all out, the lower levels can still beat them in numbers like that. So the situation you're saying, Jeff, what people could do in that, you either go to another server or, more interestingly, you're forced to make alliances of your own.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm like, it's like the revenge of the nerds, you know? Like, if you're always getting picked on, you just find the rest of the nerds and then
people did do that against us one time in a small town.
Like, yeah, well, it was like a chain because these people from this guild in Invictus were doing it, and they were at the spawn stone just killing everyone. So I was like, let's get these guys. So we did that, and then we killed them, and we spawn killed them for about 20 minutes. But then someone else, some other clan, saw it, and they came in, and then they were trying to get us. And then pretty soon it was like the whole area was just this enormous free-for-all.
Yeah.
But you see like how the alliances and the friendships come into play, where like, you know, there was... I don't know if you were there, but Anthony, there's a level 70 came through on a Mastodon, and we were like, whoa, it was like big game in more ways than one. So we were like, let's go, you know, immediately. We went and we killed him, and it was rad. It was like, you know, David took down Goliath, and then immediately after, you start seeing people with the same clan tag appearing one after another after another, and then they were all there, and we were just like in the hills, like hiding, watching them. We were like... Well, and then they couldn't find us, and then they just left too.
I guess the difference that I see, like as far as like between like WoW ganking and Conan ganking, is like when we go in a zone, a lot of times the zones are like really corridor focused. So all your quests are going to take you into the same rooms. So it's not like in Stranglethorn Vale where like you're like, I don't know, killing gorillas and you're like, oh, I'm getting ganked. So I'm going to go all the way over to the other side and kill like tigers. Mm-hmm. Like in this one, if you're getting ganked in there, you pretty much just have to leave.
Oh.
Like it's not like you just move to someplace else. You better just go level somewhere else.
Right, right.
It's, you could chase people for long distances too.
Or you can change instances too, I guess, because there are like, you can like click your tab and you can go to a different instance of the same version of the thing and hope there's less people there.
Some areas that have that option, others don't. And then there's, what did you call it, spawn dancing?
I said zone dancing.
Yeah, where it's like
that.
People will go through a door where it causes you to load. And then so like we start to beat someone. They run to the nearest door. And then it's like you have to chase them and you have to load through the door. So then we just split our group into two and wait on either side of the door. And he would zone dance and keep coming back. So he'd come out the door, get hit in the head, go back through the door, get hit in the head again. And then we'd still get him.
Getting EverQuest flashbacks there.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally, yeah.
Oh, yep, the gnolls are still there. Go back.
Yeah.
Nope, gnolls haven't left. Go back.
Yeah.
Except this is PvP, not PvE.
Yeah.
I was kind of excited about the really like high-level stuff because it sounds interesting. But now Rory and them, as they're you know on their main characters, they're getting closer and closer to like the level ceiling. And they seem to be frustrated with some things. But first of all, the promising stuff on paper is that you can get... You basically build this like town or something for your guild. Mm-hmm. And then what you have to do is you designate certain days when it can be attacked. And so the longer the window is, the more you're going to get draw like resources or something from it. So if you're like Monday through Wednesday, we're vulnerable to attack. You're going to get more than if you say we're only attackable for like 3 hours on Friday. So then the trade-off then is that you have to have a big guild and they have to be there on those days when you're vulnerable because other guilds then will come and raise your city. They'll try to like, you know, come through with their rhinos and elephants and basically destroy and do siege warfare on you and destroy your whole town. And that seems pretty interesting, but...
That'd be fun to destroy someone.
But if it's just like... I think what they're worried about is that since it's the specific time limits, it's like... Everyone will know. You'll designate the time, and you have all these poop sockers that are like, it's your job. They look at it like a job. Like, instead of going to 7-Eleven to work 9 to 5, yeah, you got to punch in and defend the dumb town.
Right.
And so it's like, and if you leave your town to attack, then other people have, you know, I don't know.
And I think the high-end game is something that I didn't think we were really going to go for anyways, because I got the impression from Rory that our guild was going to be more like on a contract basis to go attack towns for other people rather than try and own our own town.
That's a cool idea.
So, I mean,
that keeps
you
off the clock, too.
Yeah, that sounded cool.
So, contract killers.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, sounds cool.
So for someone like me, who's more into the PvE, like, is there anything here for that?
There's a ton of PvE and the quests, if you actually want to take the time to read them. They are interesting. They're not totally just, like, the same thing over and over again. And
Do you think more of the draw right now is the PvP, though?
Sure sounds like it.
If you're going to play on a free-for-all, it certainly seems that way.
Yeah. I just wonder if the PvP servers filled up quickly. Those are the ones that filled up. I think people
do. PvP.
Yeah, they do like that element of it.
It did seem like the people who did want to leave WoW for this were the ones who were the ones doing arenas and doing battlegrounds, so that kind of makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of PvE, but I guess if PvP really doesn't interest you at all, then it probably isn't necessarily for everyone.
I like to opt in, that's all.
The bad news for me now is that this game hasn't learned from a lot of other MMOs that have figured things out in the intervening years between, you know, EverQuest and stuff. So it's like, you can share quests, but sometimes, you know, a lot of them are like serial quests, you know, or chain quests, and then you can't
share that one, right?
And then there'll be like, we all have the same quest, and it's like to pick up some like scroll,
an item off a boss mob.
Yeah,
but it doesn't drop it for everyone; it only drops it for one person. That was one of the things, wasn't it?
That's dumb.
That sucks.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's all good. Is that what you were talking about, though?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even have to be that specific. Sometimes it's just there's a scroll in the temple. You don't have to kill anything. It's just sitting there.
Right.
And then you all wait around. And then Anthony goes. And then I go. And then Rory goes. And you just wait for us all to...
Oh, because it despawns and then comes back.
Oh, you have to wait for it to spawn again?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of things like that that are just...
They're still all
or if you forget to share the quest, it's just the usual thing where... Like, I found out there's that big bat demon up on the hill, up on some temple, and it was like, I had already killed it three times before because it was a fun place to go gank people. You have to wait for it to spawn, so we go up there and hide and then run and go kill it before the people that were waiting could kill it and then laugh. But then I got my comeuppance because then later on I got this quest and I was like, kill the bat demon. I was like, we already did that.
Right.
Like, oh, he's back.
Yeah. Hopefully there are people waiting for you there.
The worst in WoW were always the escort quests when you had like five people because you have to first turn it in and then everyone has to check in to make sure that they're turned in and on the same step. Like, are we ready to start this? Are we ready to start this?
And right. Then there's
almost
like
inevitably
one
person was like, oh, I wasn't ready. I didn't get the box to start it. So
slightly out of sync. So then you had to do it all over again.
And then like usually there's probably someone like coming. So you're like, oh shit, I don't want them to get this escort, you know, because anyone can grab it. And
right.
Once they do, yeah, you have to wait 15 minutes while they do it.
Yeah.
So that was always the worst in WoW.
So I think, I mean, the whole time we're playing, right, it seems like that defines most of the experience with quests. I mean, it's like one thing after another like that where
yeah,
it's just some implausible and ridiculous impediment to getting through. I mean, it's still fun, but it's just like I've seen Guild Wars solve those problems and I've seen, you know, Tabula Rasa solve them. So it's like, eh, play the competition's games at least and learn what they're doing right. I mean,
are there dungeons per se? Like WoW-style dungeons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely... like
instant boss crawls, dungeons,
okay. And
you could do epic version of
yeah, which we've never
heroic.
Done though.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
That's called heroic in WoW.
Yeah,
so they at least played Blizzard's game.
Yeah, that sounds
called
that's,
epic.
Yeah, here. That's what you do. There's later other... once you're like at the level cap, you can go back to the old content and it'll still be challenging.
Oh, yeah, they patched that in recently, right?
It's
WoW did
it's
that
post
in
Burning Crusade.
Yeah,
so.
Post Burning Crusade. Okay. Was it with 2.4 or was it before that?
Before that,
it was before
2.4. Yeah. Maybe in 2.1 or maybe even.
Yeah.
The other controversy when you're talking about dealing with gankers and stuff like us is that they're already on their forums talking about, you know, patches and how they're going to handle things. And it's like there's this one proposed solution, and that's if you go around killing people of a lower level than yourself, then they'll put you in the equivalent of this like jail thing, and then you have to do shitty grind quests to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like, you know, like kill 100
escape from the jail or something.
Wow. So that's like community service or like road work, you know, the guys cleaning up the side of the
garbage.
Road.
Yeah.
Ex-cons.
I don't know. I think people would complain about that though, because
that just seems
like part of the appeal is that you can kill anyone and
they better think it through.
I don't see Sean lasting through the game very long if he ends up having to like kill 150.
Oh yeah, then I'll be done.
If anything, and they want to make more safe areas, they could take like the old EverQuest approach and have like guards in the town that would attack a person that initiated PvP or something.
Well, that's
like
how
that.
The NPCs will arrest you and they'll haul you off.
And then you have to do the rat killing quest.
Yeah.
Theoretically, maybe.
I would hope that they think it through, though, because otherwise, instead, what I'll just do is make another character and stay at a low level, and I'll pick fights with every single high-level person I can, and then just pester them into killing me. And then I'll cry, Mom, you killed me. And then, you know, hopefully the NPCs will come and take them away. And
WoW never really solved the problem either.
I mean, they tried in towns like Butcher Bay or Booty Bay where it has like the guards, but then once someone was like level 60, it didn't matter. They could take hits from it long enough to kill you anyways.
Right. Yeah, so. And the honor, the dishonorable kills. I mean,
they got rid of those pretty fast.
If you didn't care, then whatever.
There's no answer, apparently.
Yeah. If you want to be a dick in these games and PvP servers,
I mean, there is that philosophy too. If you're on, again, a free for all PvP server, then just freaking
be ready for it. Yeah.
Right.
You will be ganked, and then someday you will be able to gank.
Yes.
That is part of
then
the
you too
of
can go to the lobby zones and exact
you
your revenge.
For the most part, you can stealth is like your friend. Not every class is that great in hiding, but I mean, it's an excellent way if you're playing alone. It's an essential way to avoid getting beat down.
Even though
every class has stealth.
Every class can hide, and every class can also look for someone that is hiding as well.
But your stats for it, like I'm an assassin, so my like stealth stats are like through the roof.
I
max that out over everything. And then also like perception. And there are ways to find people who are hiding, but like I'm hard to find even if people have high perception because my hiding slider is maxed out. Hey, while we're on this, we got an interesting post from the Age of Conan official forums. I had Rory forward me this, so I don't have the poster's name. But, what is this? He's upset and says, all right,
It's time for some feedback on something I consider of paramount importance for any world that wants people to quote-unquote live in it.
All right.
Age of Conan fails to deliver, and the entire sexual orientation of the game failed to deliver as well. Female characters with perma-undies and nipples, plus female NPCs in the world, are absolutely rife with uninspired PG-rated innuendo that does not equal real sex in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, dear.
I'm God. Sorry. This is not real sex. The sexual aspects of Age of Conan are at best about as complex and offensive as milquetoast. But hey, who can worry about sex, because there's absolutely no situation in of which it would come up, because I can't even dance, much less interact with anyone in any more complex a manner than sticking my daggers into their back. Yes, that's right. I can't even dance.
The dance is all caps.
In a world where I'm supposed to build cities and live an alternate, violent, sexy, and brutal life, I can't even go to a tavern and sit down, much less dance. You can't drink even though you can fill yourself to the hilt with any manner of consumables. You can't arm wrestle or dance with other characters. Nothing.
Oh, God.
So save me and, dancing.
So save me and my friends all get together and build a guild city. What's there to do other than defend it? We obviously can't live there. We can't even sit down on any of it, much less sit around the tavern and dance, wenching and telling tall tales of battles never fought.
All right, that's about it.
That guy likes dancing.
He likes dancing.
Look at all this. Star Wars galaxies.
I was thinking that. Go back to Star Wars galaxies.
This is a point he gets to next. You saw it coming here. So he goes that...
To many, they may look at my concerns and go, yeah, but what about how fast people are leveling and the broken zones and the performance issues? I will tell you right here and now that none of that is important in the long term, and I can prove it. Star Wars Galaxies had what was probably the most horrendous release in the history of online gaming. The client was never stable and never performed well.
Sorry, dude. It's like he's dropping out out of Hero the Webworthy voice. But so then he just goes on to say that, yeah, while Star Wars Galaxies had all this shit, it was this huge success in his mind because the social content was drastically important.
Because the dancing was so good.
It had five ways to dance.
This guy needs his own dancing memo.
What's the point if you could take off your shirt and bare your breasts if you can't dance?
Yeah.
Have you figured out if it's intentional or some kind of weird graphic bug in Conan where whenever you talk to a female NPC,
their
breasts, but it's not like they're heaving or they're winded or anything, and they're not even moving up and down. They're jerking side to side.
I just think it's a graphical,
like a Silent Hill monster.
A graphical glitch, physics error that they were like, ha ha ha, high physics on the boobs.
Uh-huh. So wait, the boobs move left to right?
Yeah. They just twitch left and right. You know like how like a Silent Hill monster moves in a cutscene or something?
Right.
Uh-huh. You get that, like, yeah, I'm waiting for the fucking pyramid head.
And this is only the female breasts. Like the guys with pecs.
There are some men breasts
don't
in the
do that. But they don't jiggle?
No.
They didn't work that physic into it.
They don't.
That sound, I don't know, maybe someone's into that.
I can't believe they didn't build a dance key in. Seriously, how could that be the thing you're complaining about?
I don't know. I haven't seen any emotes of any sort of thing in Conan at all.
Like, just play Second Life if that's your thing. Like, what do you do when you say you can hit slash dance
all,
and your character dances? Well, then what the fuck
He's
next?
Role playing.
You just sit there and watch it?
Yes.
You sit there with your like 500-pound like excuse for a body, just dripping into your attaching itself to the chair, and you're just like, dancing feels wonderful.
I have to admit, I've typed slash dance plenty of times in WoW,
but that's different.
Why is it different?
The only reason you ever type slash dance is when you're bored.
When you're bored,
yeah.
You're like waiting for a raid to start. So you're like, let's slash dance, and then people start dancing.
Right.
Or some people have magical flutes that
I
make
guess
you
if
dance
you're really
when
you're
by.
Into role playing.
I have never seen anyone dance in WoW, not ironically.
It's like they
never seen anyone actually say, "Let's dance,"
and you want to just instead of just standing there, you're like, "All right, I'm going to the bathroom," or whatever.
Right. And then you slash dance to indicate
like an idle animation in Mario. You know,
basically.
I liked playing music in Lord of the Rings. That was different.
Because you can annoy people with it.
Exactly.
Just
it was a different
Conan.
Form of not ganking, but annoyance.
Yeah.
I would go up to people trying to have conversations because the music would be so bad. You know, I'd be playing like really bad, like Mary Had a Little Lamb, and they'd just be like, go away.
That's right, because you had control over.
Right, I had my own notes. I had like a whole scale.
Yeah, they should introduce that element to Conan because then you could kill people while they're playing. If you didn't like it, you could just go up and kill them.
Right. But they do. But,
no. Oh, I would ask for handouts too. I would play and then ask for money.
But they do have an audio, like a way you can audio assault people. Remember, Rory rolled up on his giant mastodon and just was mashing like the jump button or something, and it was just going like, bah, bah, bah. You could hear it from so far away.
Yeah,
awesome.
And it's like it's not just like hitting the button to make it talk. It was like some way you found to jank it out.
Yeah,
where you because it was meant so you couldn't spam it, but he found a way to spam it. And like, yeah, it's the most like grating noise you'll ever hear.
They should have dance combos. Like you have like five moves or whatever that you can learn, and then you string them together in a certain way and you get a buff. Like everyone looks at you and they're like, damn, my attack just went up.
That can be a new class, right. that they make,
Did Star Wars Galaxies have anything like that? Because like, we'll have to, when Robert Coffey, when he comes on, we'll have to, I don't know if we've talked about it, not with him here, but he had a whole career as a, as a dancer for money.
As far as I know, that was all like in the tavern. There was a whole tavern gameplay where like dancing healed wounds and or whatever.
That's right.
It was terrible. I don't know. It was an awful idea.
But he had clients, Robert. He would like log in and his male clients would be awaiting him and his services. And he made a fortune doing that.
That's worse than the Second Life.
I know.
Well, it's like the same thing, but in the Star Wars quarter of Second Life, but with
none of those special
yeah,
moves,
with no
special
units.
Graphics.
I remember being at some EA.
Just Star Wars dry humping for money.
Right, that's what he was doing.
Was he one of those tentacle head ladies?
Twi'leks?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was a tentacle headed lady.
Well, those are the hot ones, quote unquote.
And he had a whole story. I really should let him tell the story because it's fantastic. He had a whole story of who he was as a human playing this character. All these guys thought that he was like this this waitress who worked at Olive Garden in the Midwest. I mean, they thought he was really a chick who was playing.
Right.
Well, why was he leading them on like that?
And was lap dancing. And because he made a fortune, that's why.
Well, who wants Star Wars money that bad?
He did as a joke. He was just, he had this
it's
whole.
Not a funny joke.
He had this whole career going on as an online prostitute.
Just playing.
And it was, it was amazing. He had like regular Johns, like who would like send him gifts after a while. He would just log on and have shit waiting in his
mailbox.
But
did they inevitably start asking for his like Yahoo Personals account? And, like,
well, they would like try to, but he would be like, sorry, honey, haha, this is just work.
I'm married and have four kids.
Like a Hooters waitress or something.
But I would come over every once in a while when he was texting and you would just be, I mean, you would know when someone was in Robert watching him because you would just hear, oh, you would just hear various one-up editors like, oh, man. Because, I mean, he was just like full on, like kind of going for it. He would take them into back rooms and he would service them. Yeah,
game should be shut down.
Yeah, for that reason alone. I remember I was at an EA, and he got into it too. That was the great thing, was he was doing it as a joke, the way you guys do the ganking just for laughs, and then he like got into his career. And I was at this EA, and I'll have him on the podcast so he can admit to this. We were at like one of those EA summer days things or whatever at their campus. We're outside at these like tables with all these journalists, and he like walks over with his plate of food and like out loud goes like, I've got to get back because this client is waiting for me to dance for him at like 4 o'clock and we got to get out of here. And he's saying this like stressed, serious, like loud, and we're like, dude, indoor voice. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Well, just trying to tell me this was a joke.
It was a joke, but then he kind of got into it.
This is dangerous
found out
stuff.
Something about himself. Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote a great, hilarious column about it. But then after the column was done, he was still playing. You were like, time for the intervention, man.
Ooh.
Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. Oh, because of this guy complaining about the dancing in Conan.
This is why we want dancing in Conan. He was one of Robert's clients.
Could this have been Robert posting?
Maybe. It sure sounded like it.
I can't get any money this week.
He wanted to transfer his career to Age of Conan.
So before I forget, I want to spread Anthony's new nickname.
Yeah.
No, I told you that was not okay.
All right.
But now you got it, you bastard.
Okay, because Anthony started off, well, just in, because he used to go by Chuff, but I want everyone to call him Nurgle. And the reason for this
Nurgle?
Nurgle is the, what is he, the deity of pestilence in the Warhammer universe.
True.
And so Anthony started, like, now and then he would fart in the microphone in Ventrilo when we were playing. I think I've talked about this before, but now he's got to the point where he'll do it like 40
times night.
In a night.
That was one
more,
night.
More, and dude, no, it wasn't one night. Fucking lying, man. It's every night. And burping on top of it. And, like, then you'll log off. It'll be like, Chuff has left the server. Or, and then all of a sudden you hear, Chuff has joined the server. Chuff has left the server. Like, even if he's in the other room doing something else, he'll always come over, log in, and shit on us, and log out. And combine all that. So just, like, yeah, Nurgle, man. Like,
I get
it. It's a perfect fit.
Are we supposed to call you that just in-game or all the time?
Just all the
or
time.
Never. All the time.
Special podcast. Or never.
Nurgle. Can you spell Nurgles or how many apostrophes are in Nurgle?
None, actually.
No. None?
Surprisingly.
But is there an H there?
No.
No?
What?
Okay.
Lame.
It's just phonetically?
Yeah.
Nurgleites, Nurglings. Okay.
How lazy.
So, in general, though, a bigger thumbs up for Conan, then? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I have to say, the thumbs going up a little bit higher.
If you've talked an MMO for any period of time, it must have some.
Yeah,
some
I mean, I'm still, like, not in it to the extent that the rest of these guys are. Like, I always try to get people to play Company Heroes
with. I mean, I'm probably on that boat with you.
Yeah.
Still, I like to play with everyone, but I'd rather play Co.
But the other guys, though, we'll go in, and as soon as, like, if even one of us gets killed or something, dude, I'm getting my main. And then they, like, go and log out and come back in with, like, a more powerful character.
They already have alts?
Really? They do.
Yeah, Rory has, like, a level 50 and a level 25.
Wow.
Holy crap.
And, yeah, and then they did the pre-launch thing, too.
Yeah.
Oh, they have the bonus days.
I don't think they have jobs, though.
They played in the beta. Oh, no, here's what I'm getting at. They had the beta, and you couldn't keep your beta character.
Right.
No.
So then that's three. You know, the two that they have now plus their beta characters that, you know, you couldn't take them that high level. But
right. But like I said, I think you and I are the only ones in there that have jobs.
Right. Yeah, it's disappointing. Like, even over the long weekend.
That's no excuse.
I'd be like, yeah. I don't see, like, Rory on MSN. I was going to, like, paste him some news link or something from BBC. And then I go in to Ventrilo, and, like, there they are, no matter what time. And I'm like, dude, you guys still playing? Like, yeah.
We never went to sleep.
I've been there.
College. That's what MMOs do.
College, yeah, I don't like that.
That was called.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do this weekend.
Just MMO out.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to do that since EverQuest, probably.
Yeah, me
too. I
need
my family out of town. Then I can do it.
Yeah.
Are you guys feeling
I could arrange
guilty.
For that.
I'm going to feel guilty.
No.
I don't really get guilt from playing many games, but MMOs, for some reason, when I'm done, I feel like, dude, that was like a horrible waste of my time. I should have been doing something else.
Like a different game?
Even another game would have been better, but I mean, yeah, like anything.
Hey,
even if
you're
I was
having
just,
fun.
Like, reading or...
If you enjoyed yourself, then it's all good.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just some weird thing. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I spent so many years making fun of people that played MMOs.
Maybe.
And, well, also, there's no end, right? I mean, you're...
It's not like you're beating it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's no end to many multiplayer games. You can't really...
Right. True.
And, you know, Company of Heroes.
That's true.
I think it was... I had a big setup because all the years I worked in grocery, like, there was this woman who worked in the produce department with us, and her and her husband were way into Asheron's Call 1, and I would listen to her talk about that shit and how, like, they had separate... computers, and then how they got divorced, and then she started seeing someone she'd met in the game, and then he started, like, every time I'd hear them talk about it, and I had never even seen an MMO in action. I'd just listen to this shit, and then I was like, wow, this is the most pathetic crap. I mean, they might as well be like the same as, like, someone just tell me about how much money they wasted gambling at the reservation the night before, how they went and bought like $600 in pull tabs, scratch offs or something. Mm-hmm. And then so I was, yeah, it's stigmatized it. So whenever I remember the first time I played Guild Wars, I was like, dude, am I really doing this?
Not everyone's right. Like that couple though. I mean,
it's like anything,
exist.
Right? Everything in moderation.
Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like how probably, like, if Ryan had a beer, he'd probably feel guilty afterward.
Right.
Even though having a beer is absolutely going to do nothing because he spent his whole life not doing it.
He feels guilty when we're sitting in here talking about illegal substances, not doing them. He doesn't even want to be here when we're talking about it. It makes him feel bad.
Did he talk to you after the last
no,
podcast?
No. Okay, you can just tell. He feels nervous.
Yeah.
Which is okay. He's a
good
boy.
We can make it clear Ryan has no... involvement with illicit substances.
Neither do we.
Or even legal ones.
Neither do I.
You're you just legal. Sell them.
But well, involvement, me, I mean, I have involvement in the, like when I say my half-brother was a fiend and that's the people I grew up with, they're fiends and like I've been around it.
Anthony, lots of stories of other people
say
too.
No, but then in the same story tell you that he works at a dispensary.
I'm a connoisseur, man. I'm a
We went to lunch the other day and you're like, dude, something's stabbing me. And like, you, what'd you do? You shook out a pot stem from your sleeve?
It's true.
But not yours. Not your pot stem.
No, I was probably...
Let's keep that clear.
My sweatshirt had been at work the day before at my other job.
From your job.
Yes.
So this was sort of like, you know, an accountant reaching in his pocket and seeing you had a calculator.
A Post-it. Exactly. Yeah, like you just found out you had a Post-it stuck
on stabbing me? Exactly. This Post-it note.
Right. I just want this clear in case our bosses are listening.
Yeah. I don't use the substance. I never have.
Right. That was just Anthony having...
I'm a pharmacist. That's all I am.
All right. You're a smut peddler.
I'm going to read I read something right before I came down here that I wanted to share with you guys. Maybe you won't give a shit as much as I do, but I do.
I can.
So I'm sharing it. Did you read what the milestone of the California State AAA Automobile Association, the big thing they announced today?
Did not read that, no.
They are stopping production of paper maps now. They're done. They've been doing it since 1909.
That is a big deal. Yeah, for the AAA.
And they've just said, fuck it.
Right.
We're not doing it anymore. Everybody's going to MapQuest, Google Maps, and they have GPSs in their car. So fuck it. We're not making paper maps anymore.
So you can't go down and get a triptych.
Regret it when there's a solar flare. Expecting some wonky solar activity.
Yes. Print out every map you could think you could need right now.
Produces first road map in 1909. 99 years later. The California State Automobile Association is set to produce its last paper map, another victim of the shift to digital technology.
What's the connection to this? Like what, GFW magazine?
Exactly. I read that and I like raised my fist to the AAA. I was like, yeah, bro.
All the print map makers that are now going online.
And, you know, if you go on and read this article, you got these guys. I mean, it reads like... You know, the map people's version of what we went through. You got these guys going like, fuck, man, I got all the maps from this day. And, you know, it's never going to be the same.
I just picture
just looking at the paper map.
Like no one was laid off as a result of this. The factory in Mexico just changed their printing press from one thing to the other.
Actually, like, I think some. In fact, people are losing their jobs. The auto club, which services Northern California, Nevada and Utah, is phasing out its 12-person cartographic unit by year end. Yep. Let's see if there's any good quotes from here.
This is specifically for like regional maps, marked up, highlighted for traveling. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, or do they? Yeah, I don't know. Do they produce regular maps?
It's not like we're not talking about like atlases and like Rand McNally and stuff.
Right. I think
we're just getting
Rand McNally's atlases are not included in this.
We're getting rid of the globe.
Yeah.
Everything.
All maps are not gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Some here's a guy.
Is anyone else here like looking at maps?
I like looking at maps.
Like a quirky.
I know that you do. You have one in your shower.
Yeah.
Aside from
my shower curtain's a map.
Oh, okay.
Which is good. What fantasy
world?
Just the world.
Azeroth. Oh, the real world.
I like a good map.
No, I like maps.
But yeah, I always like to have a relatively small atlas that I, depending on what I'm reading, you can always consult.
It's
like if someone
globe,
mentions a river
atlas.
In the course of a story. Like now, I'm reading about like the Little Ice Age, and it's like anytime something comes up, you're like, yeah, let's place it.
I need to know. I can't not know. Mm-hmm. If I'm reading a nonfiction and they're talking, I need to know.
Yeah,
but it bothers
me. If I'm reading fiction and there's a map, I have to look at it.
Well, yeah.
You look at the fictional maps?
Yeah, if they're talking going somewhere, I'm like, all right, there's a map in the front. Where are they?
Yeah.
And this is, of course, you know, geeky fantasy. And
now, those are fun. Yeah, those are, I mean.
You know what my favorite map is? The contour map. Next.
What's your favorite projection? What's your favorite projection? Yeah.
So I was down and I had to drive down to L.A. with my family this Memorial Day weekend, and we were the perfect example of that. Didn't even think of bringing the maps because we knew that we had Google Maps on my little freaking trio thing. So we knew we didn't have to. And we had printed out a, you know, MapQuest thing before we left.
I used Google Maps to find my way to my weekend destination as well.
Yeah,
so I'm going to be riding the AAA guys just like people wrote to GFW.
Jeff didn't like that attempt at a transition.
What? Oh, did you transition? See, I kept going. I want to talk about this.
We're going backwards.
This is the Map Podcast podcast to me now.
Podquest.
Podquest. Great.
Mapcast.
Maps for Windows. What was your transition? What were you trying to do?
What did you say?
Try it again. See if I bite this time.
I was trying to talk about the convention I went to this weekend. It's a very small.
Oh, what convention did you go to, Anthony?
At the first convention.
Is this like the Magic the Gathering?
No, well, it is on. It's actually leaps and bounds above that. It's and I mean like in the wrong direction. It's a. It's called KublaCon.
Now, why is it named KublaCon? After? Well, he wasn't. I was going to say. I mean, he was lesser than Genghis Khan.
Because it's a war games convention, and
I know. But if you're going to pick a Khan, though,
I have
no
idea.
Why not go straight to Genghis?
Did someone else take Genghis Khan?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Or Star Trek's Khan.
There's two major. There's two major tabletop gaming conventions, and one is in Tennessee, and the biggest one this side of Tennessee is in California. Northern California.
Yep.
It's the Kubla.
Cool. Awesome.
And specifically? The Hyatt Regency in Burlingame, California. Just outside San Francisco.
That's the home of the coat factory, right?
So, I guess so.
Burlington.
Oh, okay.
go to a lot of these. You were at the Magic convention.
Well, I have a lot of really nerdy friends. And,
Name's Nurgle. Quit blaming your friends.
I do play tabletop games, but I'm saying
it's okay.
The reason I went to this one was because my friend, Dennis Bray, wrote his own rule set for a miniatures game, and he just had them printed by a professional printing place, and so he was presenting at the convention and demoing his game to try and sell his rules.
Try to sell it?
Yeah.
And?
So, I don't know. He did that on Sunday. I just went on Saturday and hung out with him. But, you know, it was interesting. I mean, you would think, like, it only takes place in this Hyatt Regency, so how big could it be? But it's actually insanely big. Like, that hotel is gigantic. It's like a pentagon. And then in the center is, like, this gigantic atrium that just had a bajillion tables with, like, everything from, like, Warhammer 40K, which would be, like, the simplest war game that was there, to, like, historical battles between, like, British people and African tribesmen and stuff like that.
Zulu War.
Yeah.
Were they, like, in costume, or this is, like,
miniature? No, this is just tabletop. Yeah, miniatures. Right. Yeah. But, you know.
So when you want to have the Zulu Wars with pen and paper.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was like. Except, you know, but then, like, along with, like, the cool things where you'd see, like, historical battle like that, you'd see, like, the guys that were doing, like, the tabletop airplane game wearing, like, replica RAF hats while they were doing it.
Yeah.
Or, like, people wearing
kilts. Any sun helmets on the other guys?
Yeah, exactly. Or, but the worst thing I saw, which was before the end of the night when I left, was this thing they were putting on, mostly for the kids. But it was Aliens LARPing. And it was...
Aliens, the Ridley Scott movies.
Yeah. So one guy was walking around with a big papier-mâché Aliens hat.
No way.
On the wall were, like, two mannequins with, like, a chest burster and a face hugger. And then there were, like, big...
This is for kids?
Yeah. Mostly for kids, but there was adults participating, too. And then, like, the kids were all wearing shirts that would just be, like, Marine or Alien. And then, you know, there was, like, a grid, and they would, like, have the spinner to determine, like, if when they were shooting and stuff like that.
That's LARPing on a different level than I've heard of LARPing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
I thought,
so, too.
That's firefight.
But, yeah, I mean, you had, like, little kids hiding with, like, the eggs because they were face huggers. So they had, like, these big old paper
like
mache
eggs. How little are we talking, like,
I don't know, like, 7-year-olds or something.
Really?
Yeah. But then you had full-grown adults in camouflage. Like
scaring the shit out of the little kids.
Yeah, like the adults that had no social sense.
Have they seen the movie? Like, do they know what they're
probably
portraying?
Not. Yeah, probably
this
not.
Vile parasite.
Exactly. It was rather.
It probably did there because the whatever freak show parents that made the paper mache thing on the wall.
Oh, that's true.
Probably
running
make them
the
watch
background.
It.
These were special.
Go, don't go to bed yet, Susie. Let's watch the Aliens 2 directors.
I'm scared to death, Daddy. Please.
It didn't matter. I felt sorry because, like, this hotel's, like, right next to SFO. So, like, any random executive that was like, oh, I'll go stay in the Hyatt Regency that weekend.
Yeah.
It was, like, the worst thing you could ever hear because it was, like, 10 o'clock at night and you'd hear, like, the people that were like, it's time to LARP. And you'd hear, like, everyone yell.
It's time to LARP.
Or, you know, they'd be getting all the people pumped up for this Aliens thing they were doing.
That's going to be my new catchphrase.
It's time to LARP.
It's time to LARP. Yeah.
Was there really like a...
Yeah, literally like a big nerd cheer, you know,
wow,
of people,
sweet.
Various people with replica swords or kilts or... You know, and what I was equating it to my friend was, it's like back in early modern Europe and before and stuff, you know, they had like a, you know, the big thing, Fat Tuesday before Lent and stuff, where they just let the peasants go nuts. That way they could like get it out of their system and they wouldn't, you know, most people think it was like a social release where they wouldn't end up trying to kill like the royalty for the rest of the year. I think that that's what this is. This is like, you let the nerds come wear their replica swords. You don't ask why they're wearing the replica swords, and then they don't bring those replica swords to the office and kill you during the rest of the
year. They don't go on the school rampage. To the real school.
Exactly. Yeah. You just let them get it all out of their system in one weekend.
What did you say? I missed it.
Nothing.
Don't repeat
Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. A whole bunch of people just rewind it. Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting.
So, like, how many people are we talking about? Hundreds?
Oh, there's probably like six people.
I'm gonna guess it was more like 4,000 or something.
What?
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge.
It's the second largest.
Even though it was only this one hotel. This hotel is huge, first of all. Like hundreds and hundreds of rooms. They were all taken. And then on top of the two big halls being taken, every restaurant was taken over by nerds. Every like conference room they had was taken over. Like anywhere that there was space to put up folding tables, there was tables with people playing. It was insane.
Wow.
So you have to have some nice photos from this, right?
Yeah, I do.
You should doesn't surprise you.
I will.
You should blog 4,000?
Nah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, and they have free games you can play at any time, and people really, and I even saw people playing Age of Empires, the board game. I didn't know there was
so
a
board
game.
So it wasn't just tabletop miniature games, it was also
It was also people definitely, yeah, just straight up board games, and then also people just playing D&D.
I never did the tabletop thing.
You didn't just cruise around like Jane Goodall.
Not with miniatures.
I mean, what did you do?
No, that's exactly all I did.
How did you incriminate yourself?
No, I did just cruise around the whole time because I just didn't know anyone and I didn't know what games to play. And I was actually like reverse intimidated by these people. Yeah, like maybe they feel intimidated the rest of their time.
Oh, yeah, if you try to sit down and play like Access and Allies with someone there, you would.
Exactly. Like that was the thing. Like, yeah, I didn't know how to play most of these games and I didn't want to be like that guy that walks up.
You want
to
play Imperium Galactica?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just spend a lot of time watching people play games. It was cool. But
you should start talking to these people next time and write a story about it, you know? Like see what's going on.
We're going to have a wargaming blog column coming up.
A blollum.
Thanks, Sean.
Or a clog.
Yeah. And he's going to venture into the world of he already does. But he covers lots of board games and tabletop games, and we're going to let him talk about that at 1UP. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. I think there's room for that.
Like
at
the fabled line of attack within the pages of GFW and CGW.
Indeed.
I mean, I think a lot of people like board games. It's just maybe the whole setting up and taking it down and finding people to play with that's hard.
There you go.
Which is why on Xbox Live, like, yes. I love games like Carcassonne or Catan.
Exactly.
And there's like so many other ones that I play, like this game called Zombies. Like, I'm like, man, if only
I played Zombies.
Exactly. I love Zombies.
I play Zombies with you.
But yeah, I have it here at the office, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Ticket to Ride is another one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I always want these games to come out on Live just because it's like so much easier to find a game. There's no like cleaning
this is,
up.
I've never tried them on Live. I
Carcassonne and Catan are great.
Are great, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the reason I sit down to play a board game is because, you know, I'm with three people that I enjoy playing board games with.
Right, so it's just then I don't get to play them as often as I'd want to.
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, you could play against the AI and it's fun
it's
enough.
Fun.
But if you play, you know, I was playing Catan for a little while and, you know, playing with three other people with headsets, it was really kind of like actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... And right, and you didn't have to, like, go through the hassle of getting four people to your house. I mean, which really, once you're an adult, it's just much harder to do.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah. I think it's a really cool
development. We had to do specifically, like, it's board game night.
That's another good way of doing it. Yeah. If you're going to do it and having, like, four that you already have all planned out to play. Yeah. But
well, didn't Shu do that for a while here at...
I think he still does.
At EGM?
Yeah, I don't know.
He would have, like, nerd night or
something.
Yeah,
on weekends. I think it'd be, like, Saturday afternoons or something. They'd regularly have people over to play this kind
of
games.
My problem is everyone I did that with has now moved to another city. So it's sad. No one to do it with anymore.
Yeah, I'll, like, see, like, a story on some new board game that sounds awesome, and I'll think, I'm going to get this one. This one I'm going to get. I'll get my kid into it, and there's just no way.
You live in Berkeley, man. Games of Berkeley
is
such an awesome store.
It's an awesome store. Yep.
Yeah, that's a mecca.
Yeah.
Those games take a long time to play.
That's the thing, though. A lot of those games nowadays do say on the back, like, expected play time and stuff.
We would
so at least they warn you.
For some of our games, we would have, like, a dedicated table where we would, like, leave it set up.
I'm like, Anthony, I'm trying to tell you they're, like, prohibitively long. You're like, it's okay now. The box says. But, like, anyone, you don't just wander into Games of Berkeley and you're like, you know, I was thinking about getting Boggle. But this, whatever, Carcassonne sounds pretty promising. And then,
well, that's the thing.
Oh, no, it's about 6 hours long to play. I think, like, most of people, like, it's a definite, like, subculture.
The thing is that I think you're right. Like, okay, so I kind of take your advice with comics and apply it to games. Like, I won't buy a board game unless someone in the know tells me that it's good. Just like, yeah, I won't buy a comic book anymore, sure, unless someone like you tells me, like, this comic series is good. Because I made the mistake one time with comics.
Yeah, imagine it would be the same. Yeah, if you walked into Games at Berkeley and you had no idea, because there's just so many. They're arranged like books,
it's crazy,
in the shelves. Store.
Yeah.
And it's just like, here's an exotic name. Or, I mean, you look at something that subject matter you might like. But
I'll go too by company reputation too, right?
That's, I mean, true.
And actual,
like, game
makers.
Days of Wonder, the guys who make Ticket to Ride, you know, every new game of theirs, I'm going to go, well, yeah. I mean, I'd consider it higher, mm-hmm, than other games.
But individual people sort of have fame, right?
Sure, yeah. Right, just like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, usually if you see
a Ken Levine here. Or,
yeah. Like, oh, I like Steve Jackson games.
There you go. Speaking of Berkeley and speaking of comics, I just want a sad note. I don't know if you guys know. You know what I'm going to say?
I did see that the owner died.
Yep. Rory Root, yeah, the owner of Comic Relief, passed away this week. And so
that's crazy you know that, because we were like, were you in town shopping? Or
I was a Rory Root and Comic Relief fan before you were born.
I'm sure you were.
Yeah. No, I knew because I don't know, somehow I was on a message board where it got linked to, because there's a website now set up as a memorial to Rory. Mm. And if you don't know, I mean, he was one of the titans of the comic book retail business probably in the world. I don't think that's an exaggeration to say. Certainly Comic Relief is probably considered one of the best comic book stores,
right,
in North America, at least. And he was an amazing guy. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever got a chance to talk to him.
No. I'd see him in there now and then.
Personally, yeah. He was at the store less in the later days. But he was just one of those guys. He would, like, you know, he was the anti-comic book nerd from Simpsons. Because he knew he could have been. He knew every single thing that character knew.
Right.
Except he wasn't a dick at all.
Yeah.
You know, you could go in there and just be like, so I've heard of this comic book about this aardvark named Serbius. What's that? You know, and he would know you wouldn't know. And he would, like, very patiently and with enthusiasm,
right,
like,
not condescendingly
turn you on to it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you mean Cerberus, and it's by Dave Sim, and he's kind of a psycho jackal asshole now. But when he started, he was amazing, and you should probably get this first book. He was just so great about, like, sharing.
Sounds like you should work there.
Sharing, yeah. Well, when this place shuts down. No, I didn't say that. Shuts down in 2000 and 2200. And anyway, let's move on. he was just, all I'm trying to say is he was a great guy. It's a huge loss both to the Berkeley community and the comic book world. He was amazing.
I don't remember exactly how old it said he was, but it didn't look like he was that old.
He was
old.
50.
I was going to say, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly why he died. I think it says on his website. So. Anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. Just a.
I was disappointed when I was in there, not because of the store, but just I don't think there are enough good comics coming out right now.
Well, you guys definitely turned me on to Walking Dead.
Right.
That's fantastic.
And we have
book.
Another issue that came out. That
I'm behind now. I told Anthony to stop giving them to me until I catch up.
I'm way behind.
Yeah, I'm always like the really good stuff is just so few and far between. I'm always waiting for something else by Joe Sacco, and then he'll just either find a way to do either something for like a New York magazine that's only about 5 pages long, or a way to repackage something he's already done. For a moment I thought there was a new Chris Ware Acme novelty library. It was labeled 18 and a half, but it was just a series of prints from that he'd done for New Yorker covers. Although someone sent me a link, you know, I guess is it Showtime? There's This American Life for mm-hmm. TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's been animating some entries in that. And the one I saw on YouTube was really interesting. That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Sean, I know you've been playing Penny Arcade.
I have.
All right.
Subtitle that I don't know.
I played that on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness Episode 1.
And? Yeah.
It's cool. I like it. It's a... The thing that struck me about it, which is I think the most surprising thing about it, is how good a game it is, because I just assumed it would just be like
Penny Arcade,
totally
jokes.
Gimmicky joke thing.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, that part is fine. If you like Penny Arcade, the humor translates pretty well. It's pretty like minimalist, I guess, is the nice way to put how they present it, because basically the jokes They don't do any voiceover. It's just, you know, text dialogue exchange between cartoon heads. And that's fine because
I don't know. Is it funny like Sam and Max funny?
Do you like Penny Arcade usually?
Yeah, it's hit or miss for me. Okay. Sometimes it's hilarious. Other times I don't get it.
I think a lot of the times they put out some excellent strips.
They do. Sometimes
and
they're on
like
the money.
Unrivaled when it comes to video game themed comic strip web comics. I don't think that they have any.
They're by far the best.
There's a million. Suck. Yeah, they're
I mean,
way
every
far and away
thing. Just about everything.
Yeah, when they nail it, it's great.
I mean, I've always like. Gabe's art style, I think, is really great now. Like, mm-hmm. just watching him evolve over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They're witty. They're smart. Mm-hmm. And that comes through here. But the thing that struck me is it's obvious playing this that these people are also, like, gamers who have the same, you know. When they play a game, they get a nitpick and they're just like, in our game, we're never going to do that. So the battle, this is an RPG, by the way. I don't know if you were, I think I was expecting a graphic adventure.
That's
it is
exactly what it was in my
game.
Head.
It is a
okay,
very much a role playing game. You know, you design a character, but all it is really cosmetic. You're just it's kind of a just a rudimentary way to get you in the game next to the
right.
Gabe and Tycho. But the battle system is shockingly good. Like it's better than like it takes everything that I was annoyed with in the Final Fantasy ones because it's very much styled after a Japanese role playing game and like. Kind of fixes them.
It's super simple, so, isn't it?
Like, well, it's actually not.
Really?
So the way it works is each character, you have three characters once you get all three. Each character has a little meter at the bottom. And first, the meter that lets you... So it's real time, basically, even though everyone's just kind of standing there still. The first meter to fill up is the item meter. So once that fills up, which is pretty quick, you're allowed to use items. And then if you wait longer... Your attack meter will fill up. So that means you can do a regular attack. And if you wait even longer, your special attack meter will fill up. And if you wait for two characters...
So you just sit there while they beat on you?
No, it sounds like there's a lot of waiting, but there's actually not. There's a lot of... Like, it's really frantic because there's also these other layers going on. Well, one character's probably going to be at a point where you want to do something at any given moment, for one thing. So, like...
And you control all three in your
party. You control all three at once. So if the item... If some guy is ready with an item, then... You're probably going to want to use an item. And unlike Final Fantasy or any of those kind of games, where usually if you pick up a thing that's like, does 300 fire damage, you just never, ever, 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 ever use them. I don't know if you play Japanese role-playing games, anyone does here. But most of the time, you just collect this shit and then vendor it someday.
Right.
The stuff falls from the sky, for one thing. So like almost anywhere you go, you're getting something. And they give you a good reason to use it. Like because every character and every enemy can have one debuff or buff at a time. And the items are pretty simple, but they're pretty powerful. It's like, you know, minus 100% defense. So you're probably going to want to throw that on before you start attacking him. So if like you see an enemy that you're like, okay, we're going to go after this guy first. You want to make sure you constantly have an item on him. So anyway.
What exactly are you fighting and why?
Well, it's Penny Arcade, so.
That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Okay, so the story is kind of like pseudo-Lovecraftian. Like they just... transported themselves to Arcadia, which is kind of like, you know, I guess Innsmouth or something, where something very horrific from beyond the veil is going on, and you're fighting mimes and garbage cans that have come to life.
And hobos.
For reasons that, you know, if I even tried to explain them logically, it just wouldn't work. But, so those are the enemies. They all have, you know, their strengths and weaknesses that are revealed as you play. Which actually plays pretty cleverly into it because if you're fighting like a barbershop quartet, part of the strategy is to first figure out what they're each weak against. So if you like punch one and it says, you know, resistant to punches, which is because Gabe does punches, you being the player does rakes, and then Tycho does Tommy guns.
Yeah.
So that's basically the three types of attacks. So you just figure out who's weak to what, who's resilient against what, and then...
It does kind of sound like Sam and Max humor. Like, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, I expect more from these guys.
Like, why What's can't wrong with Sam and Max humor?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like highlights humor or something, you know? Like
Highlights humor.
Sesame Street humor.
I haven't really explained
like when Big Bird mispronounces a word, or misunderstands, like, they have a kid from Mexico on, and he gets, like, a word wrong or something.
What?
Like, you know, I don't like a Sesame Street gag. I'm imagining, like, say he's got some other character from another country and speaks another language on, and Big Bird will be trying to communicate with him, and it'll turn out for the whole episode that, like, he's pronouncing a word wrong, and he's actually saying another word, but he isn't aware of it, and this tension builds up, and at the end, they have to figure out a way to tell Big Bird without hurting his feelings if he's been saying it wrong. Like, this is what I think about when I think of, like, Sam and Max and, like, this kind of humor. Like, it just... It's like fuddy-duddy humor, I guess, you know? Like,
what's fuddy-duddy humor?
Yeah. It's like, dude, do you get it? There's a mime. Like, mimes are funny. Like, there's a rake. Do you get it? You could step on a rake and hit yourself in the face like on America's Funniest
Videos. Well, that's not the funny part. I mean, it's the individual dialogue that is funny. I didn't see a mime. I went, whoa, mimes are funny.
But you guys all laughed, though. As soon as when Sean said that there were mimes, both you and Anthony laughed. Well, that's not wrong. Maybe
mimes are funny.
It's a ridiculous concept, I guess, just because the game's so ridiculous all the time.
Yeah. Right. But I see where you're coming from, where it's not that – it's like – oh, mimes? Okay, yeah, I've seen that before.
Right.
Like, it's ridiculous in a way that you expect.
Mimes, yeah. Like, well, they don't hate mimes. Really, let's make that mimes the enemy.
Well, mimes have been enemies. I mean, they were enemies in No One Lives Forever.
Yeah.
They're in Sims. Or
countless
Sims
comic books. Right. I mean, they're used over and over again for jokes. Anytime someone's going to, like, Hulk goes to France or something.
Right.
You got Hulk.
Well, I will
Billy
say...
Crystal, like, was a mime in Spinal Tap.
Without spoiling anything, the mimes,
dude, Anthony,
do
did you
figure
fart?
Into no. the Cthulhu mythos
you fucking,
they're building.
Dude, you farted, man.
I did not. I swear to God.
Oh, my God.
This is a fart-free podcast zone.
You did, too.
Except you farted into the headset one
I did one time, day. But it didn't stink. I just...
Well, you didn't know that ahead of time. It could have.
You did.
No, I didn't.
I'm not trying to make this up.
I know, but I would claim it if I did.
All right, okay. It's your placebo. Psychosomatic fart trauma.
Okay, so anyway, back to Penny Arcade.
Mimes. Some other points on the battle system. Other things that are going on during this. If you played Mario and Luigi on the DS.
Yes.
Okay, you know how...
Superstar Saga, you mean?
Oh, wait,
no, that was a different game.
Yeah. I always liked that one because they figured out a way to make even, like, watching the battle animation slightly interactive. So this does that, too.
Yeah,
where if something is attacking, you have to be kind of paying attention both to your meters as they fill up and to the moment when they attack, when you can hit a button to, like, block it or to counterattack. So that's part of it, too.
And there's, like, mini games.
There's little mini games. Yeah, if you do your special attacks, you have a choice by the end of three different ones per character, which allow you to, you know, unleash special powers. If you, one of them is, like, you know, just to hit the spacebar real fast and then try to, like, line up a little line with another little line. So they're at that level of minigame. But it's enough. Yep. There's enough going on within one battle that you're constantly engaged and you don't feel like you're just sitting there watching two things animate and then you press attack.
Yeah.
And then you watch two things animate and then you press attack. It seems like you're...
Right.
So, you are always kind of feeling like you don't have enough time to do everything you want to do.
So how long is it from start to finish? I know I've heard this before, but I don't remember.
It took me... I didn't have a stopwatch, but probably about 7 hours.
That's good.
So, you know, what 2 to 3 hours for Sam and Max is an episode. This is closer to, I guess, a Half-Life length episode. But keep in mind, it's an RPG.
Right.
So there's a little more repetition than, you know, episode 2 of Half-Life.
Right.
Because the one thing, the biggest flaw is that there's like 3 locations and they have you just kind of go back and make the same circuit of the same location doing a different thing every time. So it's like, okay, you cleaned out the hobos in Hobo Alley. Now there's some other hobos in Hobo Alley that you need to get. So then you kind of go back to the same areas, but it's repopulated with different enemies. So that's the big weakness is it works in Sam and Max when they reuse those sets because it is very much a sitcom. You expect them to go back to the apartment because that's what they do in a sitcom, or they go back to the restaurant. But in this, it just feels like, couldn't you have made a different Hobo Alley? I like it, though. I thought it was fun.
If you're a fan of the strip?
I think if you're not, the humor will just be like, what? What's going on here? I mean, you know, the Gabe Tycho interaction is, it's more that than it is the video game specific stuff.
And are they,
so if you're looking
is
at
it
the
Gabe
lore
and Tycho conscious of being in a game in the game?
No.
They don't do that?
They don't really. No, they're very much characters set in a Lovecraft universe.
Okay, because that'd be great if they were just like reviewing the game as they went on in the game.
Well, that's maybe a little too meta.
this level's bullshit.
Or if it were just the
fact, it is missing
humor.
It is missing.
Like you're saying, if you like their humor, like for me, what makes them stand out is that, I mean, when they'll comment on what it means to be a gamer in, you know, in the so-called hardcore environments from message boards and dealing with like advertising, dealing with, you know, how you respond to the spokespeople for each company and stuff. And so if that's where like the major thrust of their criticism, and if that's not in there, it's like, I think they're funnier doing that than making mime jokes is like, what? I mean, so is there any of that? I mean, are they parodying like games and gamers at all?
Not very much, no. I mean, I think the humor that they're, because I think their strips are kind of divided pretty squarely in half, mm-hmm. in terms of like these industry focused ones and mm-hmm. then these more like story driven ones where they'll like go see, you know, the Deep Crow or whatever, and it has nothing to do with games whatsoever, but I still find it funny. It's more on that side of the fence.
Right.
It just
okay.
doesn't, yeah.
Now, someone like they had a recent one I thought that was good where they were basically talking about how, you know, kids these days, and for people that, you know, I take it they must be the same age or close to ours, because it's like, mm-hmm. it used to be hard to get a look at, I was about to say the P word, but it was hard to get a look at women's genitalia when you were, you know, when you were like 14 in our era. And you'd have to, you'd maybe get a magazine or something from like, you know, you'd find it out behind the shack where everyone would hang out. But now it's like some kids, there's some 15-year-old walking by and they're like, that kid, you know, seen more pussy than we've seen in like 30 years. Because, you know, just one day is worth of internet surfing. And then, so then it ended with how his grandma found porn was precious, and when you'd get it, I'm sorry for ruining your joke, Gabe and Tycho, but you'd get it, you'd want to hold on to it. So he had this ripped up page from a skin mag, and it had been all tattered and stuff from being with him so long, and his grandma found it, but she just thought it was an ad for Arby's or something. So it's like that is rad, and like if that kind of humor is in the game, then like I like that, but
yeah.
If it's just
I think
mind.
You'd have to see it just because it's actually surprisingly good, even if it's not about video games. I don't know, the writing.
I want to see
the writing's just good. I did a preview of it a long time ago and played through like the first like 30 minutes.
It's on Xbox and PC both.
Yes,
yeah. Is it the same price on PC? Do you know? Because it's $20.
It's $20
live.
I think on both.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not entirely certain though. I didn't pay for it.
Fair enough. You guys should definitely check out the comic from yesterday. It was super funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did, but what was it?
The horse one about the horse game where it's like, please type in your 10-digit code to unlock your horse.
Oh, the pony
and
one?
And it's like, your careless hands have typed in an incorrect number. Now your horse has been born with no bones. please select one to select your gun, then shoot your horse. And he's like, no. And it's like, please select one to shoot your horse.
See, yeah. See? It's more like that. I mean, that was game-centric, but it wasn't necessarily about something that's going on in the industry. But.
Maybe you're smelling yourself, by the way.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that
you're
out
stuffed
there.
Up. You're smelling.
This is one of those, he who smelt the Delta.
It hasn't drifted over here. I don't know if things are moving this way. Or...
Yeah, it's lingering. Half of this room must be composed of fecal matter.
Dagnum.
I know.
Don't look at me. I'm not incontinent.
Anthony, just because I'm older.
I think I'm getting sick, man. I don't know.
So I've been playing a lot of Civilization Revolutions.
Yeah.
Which I think I'm allowed to talk about. I'm not sure.
I mean, Alice just said the review, so as long as you're not like, this game sucks.
Oh, I can't review the game online now, because that would be breaking the embargo. So never mind. I won't say whether I like it or not then. I have played this game.
I am looking forward to playing
that.
It has features.
Just because, I don't know, it sounds totally different than the other Civs, which isn't a bet, which I didn't.
It's totally different, and yet in some ways remarkably the same. I think so far, I played one multiplayer match, and I made it through one game on the easiest difficulty level on Xbox. And what?
Let's notice your shirt.
My Lord of the Rings shirt. Yeah.
Sauron? I think that's a cool idea. If they're going to make a game for console that's based off of a hardcore strategy game, they make
this,
it
to me,
different.
This is one of those, like, you know, this is like one of those signs of the apocalypse, you know, from the old days. In the old days, the idea that Civilization would be on a console would be like, you know, I don't know. When Satan comes to Earth, maybe. You know, until then, forget it. And, I think Firaxis, so far, from what I've seen, I need to see more, has done a kind of amazing job of translating. I mean, it's definitely Civ Lite to some extent. You know, there's just absolutely no way they could translate the complexity of the PC game, you know, intact to the console. But plenty of times, and I'm just going to, I guess I'm going to save this for next week because I don't want to blow it in terms of what I'm supposed to be talking about or not. But almost in, not in every case, but in many, many cases when I was wondering, can the game do this? It could, in fact, do
yes.
That. It would be yes. Yet there were other things that were simplified. One thing that I was very pleased with, because it always becomes an issue when we're talking about strategy games on the console, was the control scheme was perfect with the controller. I didn't even think about it after 2 minutes moving the units around on the world map at all, which is just a superficial point. I guess I got to save the bigger points. I will just say the early word is I was really pleasantly surprised that they pulled it off. I think, like, hardcore PC Civ players who already have the PC and have Civ 4 or even Civ 3, maybe there's not going to be as much reason to play this. If you have both machines, why would you want to play the console version? I don't know. But I think it's going to be a good gateway drug for console players to maybe check out the PC version.
Assuming they pick it up, though. I mean, that'll be interesting to see if people find it. You know, if they're like, hey, this is something I want to try. Or
I heard about this.
How's that box going to look on the shelf, say, in between?
You know,
is Sid Meier's name on the box?
This next?
I haven't seen the box. I just got the, a gold master. But, I mean, that's true, because it is a turn-based strategy game. And, you know, even in its simplified state, it took me hours to play one game. This is not your typical, quote-unquote, typical console experience. I don't know. Our console
right,
gamers...
I mean, it's turn-based strategy. Well, not strategy so much as maybe role-playing games. They totally exist, but they usually come from Japan.
Yeah.
And you get, like, your Culdecepts and your Disgaeas and all those other ones like that.
So, mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I guess as long as...
Theme
who's publishing it? EA? You know?
See, I don't even know that.
I should know.
But
I guess
it's
2K,
it's
right?
It's got to be 2K.
Must be,
I was just saying, as long as whoever's publishing it, 2K... doesn't have, like, expectations like this is going to sell 4 million copies, like, as long as they keep it realistic that...
Well, yeah, this is not GTA.
Yeah.
Right, and I think they probably have looked at data how,
it's more
like,
of a niche
SimCity
audience,
or whatever has done when they released it on consoles.
Yeah, I think long-time console fans who are just like, what's the deal with this damn civilization thing? I think this is a good, accurate representation of what that is, you know? So that's that.
More to come.
More to come. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more. And we're back. Sean Elliott is drifting off because of his weekend of Conan playing, Conan poop-socking. But before you fall asleep for good,
I need more dramatic reading from the Conan comic.
Oh, yeah.
I'll find it out. Oh, I should have. You're right. I blew that intro.
We were supposed to do that every 10 minutes.
That's right. We forgot.
See us through to the end.
Damn it.
I read it for the story.
Just read a couple now, and I'll overdub them later.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Just pepper them throughout.
But you have a book recommendation for us, I believe.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've recommended a book, and figured out to talk about this one because it's one of those books where, you know, you could recommend it to anyone and they'll enjoy it. You don't have to be super specific. So I gave it to Sean. I know you've read some of it. It's called U.S. Guys or Us Guys.
Oh, you were recommending that on the forum.
Right.
Yeah.
It's written by Charlie LaDuff. The concept of the thing is that basically it was actually produced in conjunction with what was to be a TV series. I don't know where it aired, though.
It sounds like it never did.
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe that's why it's a book now.
Something happened. Yeah. Well, he was going to do both all along, but I just didn't know if, like...
He says he specifically cannot mention the title of the series, which means that, like, to me, something happened.
Okay. So, but basically, it's, you know, participatory journalism. He was going to go around the country and basically do different things with American males, representing a wide range of masculinity in the country.
And so some of the, you know, the situations, he went to join a bunch of reenactors at the Battle of Little Bighorn. And that was pretty interesting. Another example, before going into any detail on specifics, he went to a fight club in Oakland, I was surprised to hear, is right on San Pablo, which is, you know, the street that we each live a couple blocks
yeah.
from. And this was a real deal. So he ended up, you know, since he's a participant in all this stuff, he ended up getting in fights there. Fought a 300-pound guy who was well over, you know, 6'4" or something. And he went to a gay rodeo somewhere. He went to Burning Man, hung out with circus performers for a traveling circus chimera. And just like all this other stuff was just, the one that really got me, I think, was like Detroit, wasn't it? The crime scene stuff.
That one I'm not at yet.
He works with, it's just some homicide detectives there. And the thing about this book is that it's a quick and easy read for anyone, but each chapter is its own self-contained story, and it's just so well written. It's narrative form as well. And I just think, I mean, for one, part of it, I was getting it as a writer. It was like, look at how, like, if you're even slightly interested in narrative reporting, look at how he's, you know, handling all this stuff. And it's just fascinating, too, just the range of stuff. I mean, like, people could, you know, charge him with picking all these freak show things rather than just going and hanging out in any random bar and stuff. I mean, he's doing, like, he goes to some male modeling thing in New York.
It's all pretty extreme male, yeah.
Yeah.
Some end of some spectrum.
But there's something of everyone in every group that he's going to.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
If it's, like, the Fight Club thing, you're like, you know, he connects it to his own story of him and his brothers fighting, you know, and you're like, you could totally deal with that. I mean, no matter what the circumstances are, there's something that you're like, yeah, this is an extreme circumstance that he's pulling sort of this insight from. And like, he's doing that in part to entertain us and because it was going to be a TV series, you know. But there's, I don't know. I mean, I just appreciate like I'll let you sign off on it, but every single entry I read in it, I really liked.
Yeah, I found the same sort of insight, despite the fact that they're talking about, you know, a circus trapeze artist who doesn't know anything else but circus trapeze artistry.
Yeah.
Like, I found something in there, like, oh, yeah, I can relate to what he's going through there. Even though, when you think about it, you're just like, there's no fucking way I can relate to what this guy's going through.
Right, right. Maybe that would have been on the extreme. And for me, doubly so, because those performers were, you know, they were all from Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, much radically different histories. But
for me, it's putting, like, my dumb life in perspective. Sometimes you're just like, man, I got it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes yeah, it is just like another where you're like, wow. Or even like in that
case, ain't nothing.
Appreciating it when you're like, oh, here comes the carnival again.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, we all make the carny jokes, but like, here's some insight into, you know.
Yeah. And they're talking about how on his carnival salary in America, he's, you know, pulling down $30,000 for his family of eight or whatever. You're just like, oh my Lord. Mm-hmm. You have to travel around to a bunch of people who don't appreciate what you're doing. He's like, pining for being back in Europe where, you know, the circus is an art form and not some freak show thing that people laugh at or they go to and actually want to see, and they can stay in a town for like a whole month at a time and, you know, take in all the culture.
And one thing, the performers did tell us kind of something about ourselves. I mean, when they're commenting on the difference between rural and urban audiences and how they love to, they think it's great to go out into the sticks and do their circus.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have all these city folk that are, they go there and it's like, what are you going to show
yawns
to entertain me? You know, what do you got for me now? What, do you got a mime joke? sorry. and whereas they go, you know, and it would just be a dramatically different impression depending on where they go. Did you read there's a section on the Battle of Little Bighorn reenactors. Did you read that?
That's the one I'm on halfway, maybe three quarters of the way through. So I might have gotten.
The thing that got me in there is not only the complexity of like the fact that like the Indian tribe that's playing the Indian tribe that fought and killed Custard.
Right, it's the Crow playing the Sioux.
Right, and so the Sioux aren't involved, and then so there's how do the Crow see themselves playing this part, and then in relation to their real, you know, their ancestors' real role in the circumstance, how are the Sioux dealing with it? What's up with the white people that are like, let's be Custer, you know, like, and that guy is funny. The guy who plays
awesome.
Him is interesting, but then it gets really cool when they actually start the reenactment, and a lot of the Crow Indian guys.
you get the sense that they just love this chance to get to beat the shit out of these white guys, even mm-hmm. if it's like for play. And like they start roughing up like Custer so bad that they have to like pretty much like blow the whistle. They're like, you guys already killed him like six times. And like they'll just keep killing certain people, like which will be the way that the reenactment goes. If they come by and they bonk you or hit you or something, you're supposed to either indicate that you're dead or keep fighting if you want them to come back and shoot it's you larping. With the blank or something, you know.
Right. Lightning bolt, lightning
and
bolt.
They keep doing it. And one guy is like, he just says, you know, Charlie Duff is like, this guy just absolutely smells like he's liquored up and drunk, and he's rough as you can imagine. He's like, I keep going down and pretending I'm dead. He keeps coming back to kill me again and again. And, I don't know. It was just pretty, like, it had this, it's weird. I mean, dealing with the issue of why grown men play, you know, these terrible scenarios. There's racial stuff involved to throw into the powder keg. There's the explanations for why people do this on the face. It's like, oh, to preserve history, you know. But then right. There's like the way that the actual behavior checks out with, you know, with what they're claiming, and it's just really interesting.
I suppose you could probably even apply that sort of logic to the historical war battles all those old dudes were doing. Like they would go do those things, except they just do it with miniatures on a small scale.
Yeah.
But they're definitely right. Like, I want to be the Zulu warriors.
keep their mm-hmm. costume clean.
Yeah.
It was interesting that when the guys for Stalker Clear Sky came in the other week, I was asking the producer what was going on with the pictures I've seen online of LARPers. Well, I thought that they were LARPers, and it turned out that, yeah, they are. But you basically see all these people in, you know, the real Ukrainian exclusion zone dressed up like Stalker characters and whatnot. And so we told, you know, it was like, yeah, what we do, we'll have about 300 or 400 people participate in these, and we'll spend a month or two preparing, deciding who's going to be, you know, the salesmen, the shopkeepers and stuff, who are going to be this class of mutant and what's going to go on. And then they all go out with their airsoft rifles and do this stuff. So
they're actually doing it in that area, in this.
I don't know, like, exactly how. Obviously, they're not, like, right on the immediate outskirts of the reactor itself. At least I hope they're not. That's not worth live action cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The realism is
Look,
key.
I really have radiation.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But as soon as I heard that, I was like, ah, shit, I would love to go. Just basically copy LaDuff and go and join in on these guys' shenanigans, you know. We obviously don't have the budget to send me.
Why are they doing it specifically? Is it for the next game?
No, it's not to promote the game or anything. It's just the game is popular there. People like the universe and the fiction, and it was based on that story from there. They just like it, and they want to LARP. They got airsoft guns, and they have spare gas masks, and they can throw some burlap over that and turn themselves into a zone rider. But so, I was like, yeah, first thing I was like, it would be rad to go over here and actually, you know, do this and do a story on it. That wasn't going to happen. The only time, you know, that's why we always send like freelancers like Robert and stuff and, you know, and Evan when there's these events in, you know, Moscow and Helsinki and all these other cool places. But I think, yeah, I do have Robert is, you know, starting to talk with them and work out a story on this. Interestingly, I was looking at some you know, other leads for it where, you know, what will happen, I imagine, like Robert will write a story and it's going to be based on this one specific thing, but it'll also talk around the larger phenomena of game-based LARPing to put this in context. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys aren't just operating in a vacuum. But I was searching around for links and stuff for him, and I found one. It was crazy. People, live-action Sonic the Hedgehog LARPer. I mean, well, of course, they're LARPers. But Sonic the Hedgehog LARPers, and they have skateboard ramps and rollerblades and shit.
What?
So that's how you do. That's how you
do the loops.
LARP Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah.
Sounds extreme.
Are there more details here that we don't want to know?
Imagine.
Yeah, that's why I'm not asking.
Rollerblade half pipe maneuvers with a fucking Sonic mask on.
Yeah. And nothing else.
Going for rings. Yeah. I wonder if they have someone toss, like, they spray paint hula hoops gold and have someone throw those to them to collect as they're going up back and forth on the ramp.
Yeah. What's their little LARP? Well, never mind. We know the answer to that already. People have invented many, many things.
Yeah, you don't even need a set for that. Just go in your bedroom.
I got to see Darkon. Is that the name of that movie?
Darkon?
Some documentary about LARPing.
No, but I want to see it now, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's been like in the making for the longest time. I mean, they've had like the trailers up. I figure it's got to be out, right?
That was the other thing at that convention I went to. They were showing regular films from this professional LARPing group that they apparently film regular episodes. For like
them LARPing?
Yeah. And it's like a continuous thing about this group through their LARPing adventures. I'll have to find out the name of it.
This reminds me. We should republish Ed Halter's story about just sorts of... It had some coverage of LARPing. It had nerdcore rappers and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that was a good story.
It had, totally. I'm surprised we haven't done that yet.
Yeah, that was back in the print mag days.
Yeah, let's get that story
up. Put that on the online for those who missed it.
The information superhighway. Yeah.
We can post it right next to a map, AAA.
Maps.
Here's your story plus a map of Fresno.
Yeah.
For old time's sake.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Are we done?
I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done. We're sorry. It's post-Memorial Day. You got a tired group here. We did our best to service you.
Let us know if you were happy with what you received.
And if not, PM Jeff.
Not, well, fuck you.
Jeff
No.
Handle it.
I'll handle it. I'll weep quietly to myself late at night. Or maybe not so quietly. Maybe I'll blubber openly.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I'll just blubber.
Why don't you bring us out with some more?
Yeah, like the ending of Conan.
The ending?
Yeah, I don't know. I figured
does it end on a resounding?
How can it not?
It has probably a to be continued.
Unless it's a cliffhanger.
To be continued in your own adventure.
No, it says finis at the end.
Oh, well, that means
all right,
done.
So I'll read the last page of The Sword of the Cimmerian.
So fill in the gaps here.
Okay. Yeah, you write.
You can guess what happened.
Create your own story between the beginning and the end. Here's the end.
Night-winged thoughts flit across Conan's brain. Memories of the dread deeds of the day just done. The slaying of a valiant friend. The marvels of an invisible world revealed. Images of many towered cities and dying continents and kings.
That was written there. It was and, ellipsis, and.
And kings. Aye. Wasn't there something about a kingdom? A vision of Conan as monarch of some unguessed-at land? But already, the image fades. Too long ago, and too fantastic to trouble the mind of a youth who has neither dagger nor venison to sustain him.
Moral of the story is...
One more.
You hear this, you either PK or press one.
The moon is a white watching eye. The journey home is hard. And there are no realities worth the wishing. Save food and a finely wrought sword.
Sounds like a penthouse letter.
Finis.
Steal a joke from Garth Ennis.
Actually, yeah, in the last image is of him in his sexy loincloth walking off into the night.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Follow me, young man.
And with that, we walk off into the night.
We walk off.
Bare ass showing in our loincloth.
We will not
the
go
GFW
quietly.
Barbarians. We shall be back
to fight another battle next week.
Good God. Fucking edit that.
Look at this. The female I carried from the cave is changed into one of the winged demons. As he says, as he jumps right in front of the female he's talking about.
Oh, he says that out loud?
It's not a narrative
box. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
All right.
Okay. We'll be back next week with more.
On the ground.
Great stuff.
Actually, here, there's a final sound for this podcast.
Oh, that's the sound of Sean ripping the Conan comic book in half.
Oh, man.
Goodbye.
Collector's item.